Yeah, so how long you been battling with this? Is this the same thing as the knife throat thing?
Yeah, presumably it's the same thing. That was like 2 weeks ago.
Oh, God.
At least 1 week ago.
So it's one of those then?
Yeah, 2 weeks. Yeah, not cool. It started out as just that, and then it was getting okay. And then I spent a lot of time outside in the cold for work. All went into my head, and then, like, I was out, like, all of last week.
Fuck, man. That's awful.
Yeah, which isn't great, because it was midterms.
Oh, that's even worse.
I think I only missed one, though, so it was fine.
Okay, cool. Was it for anything important?
No, it was Christian Action and Values.
Oh, the least important.
Exactly.
let's see.
So,
it's gonna be
clearing. Good times.
I'm so glad we have these filters now. That's perfect.
That's exactly what it's for, too.
Good timing. You know, mm-hmm. I do notice there's something a little bit different. It does. I think it cleans it up a little bit. Mm-hmm. I'm sure after I convert the MP3 down to 32 kilobytes per second, though, it might be lost. But yeah,
It'll be fine.
I'll feel better about it because audio.
There were some plosives. We had some plosives before.
There were. Now, there were indeed.
They will be shielded.
So when we say words like bow and petunia, everything will be fine.
Yeah. Bow before the perplexing petunias, Paul.
That's not my name.
Now it is. Now you're Paul.
Welcome to First Person Podcast Simulator. My name is Paul, and my name is Zach Bruin. It is episode 27 of the First Person Podcast Simulator, and joining me this week, as always, is the lovely...
Paul.
It's the joke that never gets bad.
Oh, yeah. We're all Paul. No, I'm Mike, though. My real name is Mike. Or is it my alias?
My weekend name is Paul.
Right.
So.
That's so shady, weekend name.
yeah. That was a joke that Frick used to pull all the time. Whenever someone would accuse him of something, he would always phrase it like, "Hey, what I do with my weekends is none of your business." And just I miss that old man.
He's good people.
Oh, totally, absolutely. So, dude, you did something pretty freaking wicked over the last week or so. I presume as you had so much time being sick.
Yeah, that's what it was.
You beat Mass Effect.
I did do that. Not just that I beat Mass Effect, but I finally played Mass Effect.
Yes.
I made a vlog where I explained a while ago, but it's 18 minutes, so I'll boil it down for you.
Oh, dang.
It wasn't all about this, but part of it was this. But so you don't have to watch an 18-minute video to learn why I play Mass Effect.
Make people watch. What you should say is you should...
Okay, fine.
It's like the special features.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, it's a mystery. Watch the video to find out why. But I finally played it.
Yep.
And I just love it so much.
Dude, I had a feeling that you would be all about that.
You were saying a lot that I would really like it, and you were so right.
Yeah, man. Okay, so lay it on me. The whole shebang, and anything that stood out to you or you thought that was cool.
The whole shebang. I really love... I mean, I cared about the characters. And just the story was great, because it's BioWare, and they really know what they're doing in that regard. I loved, I don't know, just the feeling of the universe. I could feel the whole worlds, or the universe that I was in this storyline. And just being in the ship, that's what it was like. I just thought of a good parallel a few minutes ago. It's like, I was going to love it, because it's like, Star Wars, Firefly, and Battlestar Galactica all mashed together with this great original story and this great cast of characters. It was beautiful.
Go ahead.
One of the things that stood out to me, though, the one thing that frustrated me the whole time was some of the combat seemed a little, I don't know, not very balanced. And, like, so I would die repeatedly in a certain place and have to play it over and over and over just to get past this one point.
Mm-hmm.
At certain points. But for the most part, I was okay.
Yeah, that's one thing I always mention to anyone who's like interested in Mass Effect is that the combat system of the first one really is not very polished feeling. It's one of the weaker points of the entire game, I think.
Mm-hmm. I did get used to it, though, and I actually started to like it.
Mm. Well, you're going to love 2 then, I think.
I started 2.
Oh, cool, right.
I've already started 2. I started the same night that I beat Mass Effect 1 because I have a problem. Which I'm thinking now maybe I shouldn't have started Mass Effect 2 so quickly afterwards.
Oh, yeah? How come?
Because I feel like I kind of rushed right through the story without realizing the breadth of all of these side quests that are available to you.
In the first one?
Yeah.
I'll be honest.
Like, it seems like there's not a lot of meat to them, but they're there.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Yeah. Is that fair?
Yeah, no, it totally is. I mean, I don't know. I kind of had this. I sort of had the same feeling. I didn't really go through a whole heck of a lot of the side quests in the first one, though. Like, one of the more iconic ones is fighting the Thresher Maw, I guess, in the first one, which you can do. I had no idea you could do. Like, that's a side quest. Huh.
Okay.
I don't know if you know what that is yet.
No.
Well, you'll find out. You'll find out.
Cool.
But. I didn't go through a whole lot of the side quests on the first one, only because I think I really wanted to get through the main portion of the game. Like, that felt like the only part of it I really wanted to complete, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
That might just be me, though. I know plenty of people, like, just went through that world and explored it thoroughly and loved every moment of it.
Yeah, I probably would have loved to do that. And so, like, starting Mass Effect 2 and the bit of it that I have played... let's see what Steam says. I spent 21 hours in Mass Effect 1.
Okay.
And so far I've spent 3 hours in Mass Effect 2.
Hmm.
And I miss Mass Effect 1.
Wait, you miss Mass Effect 1 already?
Yeah.
Is there anything in particular that 2 isn't fulfilling that, like, you...
Well, some of the controls... I mean, just little things, like the controls are different, and, I just really got used to those, and the way that it's changed seems like it was, maybe, is a dumbed-down version of the controls, because interact is just space instead of E, whereas, like, any PC gamer would know that E is interact.
I actually had no idea that that's the truth.
Okay, maybe that's a ridiculous, pretentious thing that I should shut up about. and that's not something that I should be nitpicking. But the combat... the combat so far is, it's good. It is good. I think maybe I started to prefer Mass Effect 1 a little bit, but I'll probably come around to this because it's not bad.
Yeah, I think you will. Because there's something about 2 that just feels like a more well-rounded, game to me. I used to know, like, a lot of the little details, a while ago back when I actually played these games, but, I just know that generally the feeling that I ended up getting was that, you know, yeah, they really... I think there's a drastic improvement, for sure.
Okay. At least graphics-wise, it's...
yeah, right?
A lot better looking. It's a beautiful game.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess the only thing that is... The only other aspect in which I am nostalgic for Mass Effect 1... is the way in which they want you to be, which is because you care about the story and you care about the characters. So I don't want to spoil anything, but I miss people.
Yeah, give yourself a little bit more time.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Trust me, it feels... The first couple hours of that game, it really does feel like your...
Heart was ripped out of your chest?
No. Well, I mean, you spoilers, you do die, but...
Yeah.
Just give it a little bit, because it starts to feel like an amazing sort of high school reunion where all of your
yeah.
And the way you'll
okay.
Just get back to me next week. I know you're going to play a couple more hours of this, but I want you to, I want to hear your, opinion after you really start the game.
Yeah. I am really excited to keep playing it though. I am in love with the storyline and this universe. And, like I said in that video that I made, I feel like this is something I needed at this point.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I needed a big universe kind of a big game to get into. And this was perfect.
Yeah, man, I feel that.
And what's his face? Seth Green is the voice of Joker, the pilot for the ship.
Oh,
that's awesome.
So cool with that. I love
so
that.
So great. Yeah, I love Seth Green.
He does a really good job.
He really does, yeah. A lot of the other voice actors are people, too. Like, I just, in Mass Effect 2, I just, when you go back to the Citadel, the one guy who is, like, at the security desk or something, he's totally in Battlestar Galactica.
Whoa, what?
He is, oh, what's his face? Colonel Ty. He is Colonel Ty.
You're shitting me.
Yeah, he's totally in there.
Wow.
I just closed my eyes for a second, and I was like, oh my god, it's Colonel Ty, I love this.
Except that Colonel Ty's a dick.
A little bit, yeah. No, not a little bit. He's a total dick, yeah.
I don't like Colonel Ty.
Yeah.
I think that I haven't finished all of the last season of that, but how much have you watched?
I'm in season 3.
Is that the last one?
Maybe I'm in season 2. Netflix will know where I am. How does net not autocomplete to Netflix? Are you kidding me?
Because technology is flawed and man is spoiled.
What a great commentary on... Wow. Keep going. This podcast is going places.
So, what season are you in?
Season 3. I'm on episode 8 of season 3.
That is not the last season, right?
It is not. No, okay. Season 4 is on here.
Cool. All right, never mind then. Because there are some things that happen to him later, and they're pretty nuts.
Mm-hmm.
And his character starts getting infinitely more interesting to me. But anyways, we're not here to talk about no BSG. I mean, unless we are. Anyways, what I think would be super cool is if by the time you finish Mass Effect 2, that both of us could start 3 at the same time.
Oh, yeah.
Because I own 3, and for some reason I haven't popped it in a PC yet, because I'm a fucking idiot. I've had this thing not since last Christmas, but the Christmas before that.
What?
Yeah, dude.
That's madness.
Pretty much.
I will have to acquire 3. I don't think it's on Steam, because EA got dumb when they put that out. And yeah. I think it requires Origin.
It's super weird. I have a physical copy of this game, like a box and everything.
Whoa.
I know.
They still make those?
Yeah, hello, 1999.
I always like those, though. But yeah, I'll have to get my hands on that soon.
One thing I'm super curious about, and I guess it's weird, it's sort of a weird question to ask because you have no basis for comparison, I guess, but was there anything interesting or strange about playing a FemShep?
Oh, yeah, I was going to ask if you wanted to talk about...
Yeah, totally. Absolutely.
I mean, yeah, I haven't played as a dude, so I don't know, but I just really wanted to do FemShep, and I loved it. It was great.
I think that provides for a really interesting playthrough, for sure.
Yeah, totally. Her name's Fiona.
Excellent.
And she's awesome. Like, I really love my character. It's great. And she's gay. It's a lot of fun.
Even better.
I just, after I beat the game, I messaged my sister on Google+, because that's how we share things with each other.
Okay.
I realize that might sound weird that we use Google+.
Yes.
Because we're both really, like, active about gay rights, and I was like, hey, guess what? A lesbian just saved the universe. So, she was happy about that.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
It was just so great. I loved that game. So much fun.
Yeah, from what I could tell from the very, very small glimpse into sort of BioWare's inner workings that I've seen, they try and, for the most part, make both like actions and a lot of like gestures and stuff similar for both genders, I guess.
Yeah. No, if this is what you're asking, it never felt at any point in the game. I never thought, okay, but if I was a guy, this would have happened differently. I never thought that or felt that way. It was like, this is just the experience.
Yeah. And that's very like super well thought out.
Yeah. That's such a great thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I also really like how they work to keep the story consistent across games. So you can, like, import your save to Mass Effect 2, and then it asks all these questions about what you did.
Right.
So, like, if you did this certain thing, then this certain thing carries over. And now I'm just thinking of all the different ways that this could be a completely different... Like, Mass Effect 2 could be a completely different game. Oh, I mean, not completely different, but, like, a lot of things could go differently. And now I'm thinking about going back and, like, changing some stuff to see how it affects this game and...
Or instead of blowing all that time, you could look it up.
I could, but... Fuck you. I don't know, maybe I will.
Just trying to save you some time, buddy!
But that's also just an excuse to go back and live in the Mass Effect 1 universe.
That's true.
Which is fun. Yeah, because there you make some big decisions near the end of the game that affect stuff. I don't want to spoil anything. Like I was going to say, I'm not going to worry about spoilers because it's an old game, but I hadn't played it yet.
Right.
And if there's another me out there who hasn't played it yet, I want them to have an untainted and lovely experience of this universe. And also, if the internet is revealed to be its time machine self and younger me hears this podcast, then what? You know, I've ruined it for myself. Then the podcast will cease to exist, and then it'll rip a hole open in the space-time continuum, and we've ruined everything. That's what spoilers do, guys.
If you are a younger Mike from the past listening to this right now, please write us in at fpvsim.gmail.com.
Depending on how young you are, don't eat that gobstopper, because you're going to choke on it, and then you'll be afraid of hard candy for a while. And that's a shame, because Jolly Ranchers are great.
Yeah, they're really good. The way I eat Jolly Ranchers, let me tell you, I like to keep it in my mouth until it's like this weird like sliver of a candy, and then I gradually bend it with my teeth.
Bend it around your tongue, yeah.
Oh, well, yeah,
or with your teeth, whichever, yeah.
Yeah.
It's fun and weird, because candy don't do that.
Well, now that we know that information about each other.
All right.
No, that's definitely cool. Tell me about how Mass Effect 2, how you're feeling about Mass Effect 2 next week. Keep updating
on that.
So far,
it's great.
But we got to move on.
We do.
Let's see. I really haven't been playing much this week. I've been kind of busy with homework stuff. But I did play this this kind of interesting mobile game. It's free. It just has a really simple sort of neat system that I haven't quite seen before. It's called Spell Chain. If you can imagine it, it's a you play one other player or you play a computer, whatever. And you sort of get like this set of stats. So you have your HP, your shield, your mana, and your army. I think those are all of them for the most part. So obviously the thing you need to do is you need to whittle down your opponent's HP and beat them and blah, blah, blah. But it works through this interesting like card tile system where you expel all of your mana on these different cards, and you pick one card tile, but then you have to use more mana, you go to a card that's adjacent to it, so you end up doing like these interesting links, and each of them have different effects on you and your opponent. It's just kind of neat. It's neat and simple, something I haven't seen before. If you need a free game that you want to waste like 5-10 minutes on Android, download Spellchain, because I just think it's cool.
Cool. It looks cool. Where do you keep hearing about all these interesting mobile games?
I had heard about Hoplite from one of my teachers.
Oh.
But all of the rest of them have purely been just from browsing the Android store and me taking chances on, you know, buying, like, spending $1 on games, because I think mobile games are really interesting in their own sort of way.
Yeah, totally. Like, yeah, the two you talked about, not the last podcast, but two podcasts ago.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe it was three. I don't remember. But they all sounded really interesting, and I put them in my wish list in the Google Play Store.
Yeah, dude. Color Sheep is where it's at, though. That game is fucking...
Yeah, that sounds really cool.
It's so brilliant. It's so well done.
Sweet.
Anyways, I played, like, two rounds of Spelunky. Whatever.
Cool.
That's old news. But I also watched David play Spelunky on the train today, and he had this amazing thing happen where, I think he had, like, a spider chasing after him or something, and, like, a big one, not a regular spider.
Oh, yeah, yeah, okay.
And he went over, and he picked up, so, you know, he could pick up, like, that golden skull, and then it goes all Indiana Jones on you, and a boulder falls, and so he picked up the skull, and he ran to the right, the same side that the spider was on, hoping that the boulder would, you know, crush the spider. That would be awesome.
Yeah.
That almost happened.
Oh,
the spider jumped onto the boulder and was riding it for like several seconds. And it was, I've never, ever seen that before. A giant spider in Spelunky riding on the boulder. It did eventually
die, amazing.
But it was so fucking crazy.
But for a while, he was on top of the world.
He was.
Oh, he'd man.
He'd never gone that fast in his life.
oh, that's great.
So that was just fun.
How was he playing Spelunky on the train?
He on his laptop.
Oh, okay. Cool.
Just with a PS3 controller plugged in.
All right. Because I didn't think he had a Vita, so.
Oh, yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Let's see. What else? Move on to some pretty big news. People might have heard this.
Yeah.
Twitch did finally beat Pokemon.
That's awesome.
So basically, I mean, that's pretty crazy in itself. But the stat breakdown is absolutely crazy.
Yeah, I took a look at that. It's amazing.
Yeah, quick rundown. So this is from Joystick. They do a really good summary of all this. So total time, 16 days, 7 hours, and some odd minutes. That's constant. Peak number of players, 121,000. Issued commands, more than 122 million.
God. Most of them were start, which is annoying.
What is it, don't like start that. 9 or something was the other one?
Oh, yeah.
Or something like that. Unlockers, more than 9 million. Total views, 36 million. Total minutes watched, combined, over 1 billion.
Billion minutes.
Billion minutes.
That's a lot of minutes.
You don't even live for that long. If you put a hot dog in the microwave for a billion minutes, it wouldn't even be a hot dog anymore.
Could you? Would it even let you put that many zeros in?
Science may never know.
We have to try this now. Damn it.
When
you come over to watch Space Jam, let's put something in the microwave for a billion minutes.
Have we officially announced that yet?
I don't know. Maybe?
Let's leave it a surprise.
It'll happen.
Yeah. Space Jam commentary 2014. So, but yeah, that's really fucking crazy.
Yeah.
Firstly, because they did it at all.
Right.
And
which if you've ever watched Twitch Plays Pokemon, most of it is like walking into walls or in circles or just going through the Pokedex for like 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm. And the fan art that has come because of this. Oh my God. It's,
oh, I haven't seen any.
There's been so much good. It basically, a lot of them are just showing red in different sort of,
maybe I have
like predicaments where it just seems like he's going insane, and they'll have like all of the button presses above his head, and it just shows him like holding his head and not having a good time. But yeah, so that's done, and
is the coolest thing I think that has happened in this year so far. I really like
fuck Sochi.
That's right. Oh, I didn't care about the Olympics at all. Did you watch the Olympics?
Yeah, dude, I did.
All right, that's cool.
Did we have a discussion about this already? I watch Maybe. It purely from a, these are the best people in the world doing this one very specific thing.
Oh, yeah, okay.
And that's just, I think that's cool.
Yeah.
Also hockey.
Right.
But
did we lose to Canada?
Yes. I think in both respects. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I think both men's and women's lost to Canada.
Okay, I know we lost in men's and women's uphill healthcare, but I wasn't
yeah,
sure
we
about hockey.
Yeah, I think we were like 26th, 27th in that or something.
Something like that, yeah.
Didn't even qualify, place, yeah. So. Shame.
What a shame. going along with the Twitch Plays Pokemon thing, later on, or once they were, I don't remember how far they were into the game, but eventually they enacted this anarchy democracy thing.
Yeah.
So, I guess it was like you could periodically vote for whether it would switch over to anarchy or democracy. And then if it was democracy, it would be like crowd rule of what command gets sent to the game. Am I right?
Yeah. So there would be like a 10 or 15 second period where it would be like, okay, all players, like, it took in input from all players, and whatever got the most in terms of button input would happen.
Yeah. Which, if they hadn't done that, I don't know that they would have beaten it by now.
No, they would not have.
Because the other thing is that a bunch of the players crowdsourced a Google site to, like, monitor progress, say where they were, and, like, say what their current goal was, so mm-hmm. that, like, a majority of people could have something to work towards.
Yes.
Which is super cool.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's interesting, I don't know if we mentioned the anarchy-democracy thing last week.
I don't think so.
No. I think that was a really crucial, interesting element, and there are a lot of peers who are like, no, it wouldn't work, and just, you know what? Shut your fucking mouth, because there is no way that you would be able to do this in a reasonable amount of time
yeah.
without that mechanic. It doesn't matter if you don't use it that often. There are some crucial points in that game where that needs to happen.
Yeah.
Like, you never played the originals, right?
No. No, I didn't.
So there's this point in the Safari Zone where you get a limited number
of
steps.
Safari Zone.
Yeah. You had a limited number of steps to, like, I think you find surf in the Safari Zone or something. And you know what? That literally would not have, that would have been impossible without the democracy thing.
Yeah.
Because it's just one very crucial, critical point where you need to actually focus and, you know, be conscious of how many steps you're taking.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
Did you watch them get through Safari Zone?
No. I haven't really been watching since since they beat Giovanni, really.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. The first time, not the gym battle.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah.
I haven't watched in a while either, but they have moved on to Pokemon Crystal.
Yeah, dude. I think
which
you're
is
excited
my
about
favorite.
That.
It's my mm-hmm. favorite Pokemon, because it's like the one that I've played.
Yeah.
That I then had to give back to my friend.
Oh.
Just so sad.
I'm so sorry.
I had a Totodile, or Feraligatr, who was, I think he was like level 98 or something.
Holy shit, dude.
I played the crap out of that game, man. I loved
Seems
it
like
so
it,
much.
Yeah.
So
that's
I was
cool.
super happy when they chose Totodile as their starter.
Ah, yeah. That's cool. So now you got something else to watch while you're recovering from being sick.
Yeah, totally. In between bouts of Mass Effect 3.
Yes.
3? I meant 2.
You're skipping ahead? What are you doing?
Oh, God. I don't know anymore.
What's wrong with you?
I just can't wait. Moving on.
All right. So, next along the line, in terms of news stuff, some small thing, some that we heard about a couple months ago. The Steam family sharing is a thing.
Yes.
It has happened.
It has. Have you gotten a chance to try it out at all?
I did... like, install the little widgety interface thing, or, like, I allowed it to happen. I have not had anyone that I could just... I think it's not quite as simple as we think it might be. It's not, like... because I originally imagined, like, you start the family sharing thing,
mm-hmm.
Which I think we mentioned. Basically, the family sharing thing
probably.
Is exactly what it sounds like. You can pick up to, like, 10 friends, and they can... you know, play through some systems, they can, like, play some games that you own as long as you're not, you know, playing something.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's just as simple as, like, going in and adding certain friends.
It is not.
Yeah, I think...
So I was able to get on my friend Matt's family sharing plan when this was still in beta.
Oh, okay.
I haven't really played any of his games. But I just kind of wanted to see what it was like. He has 226 games on Steam.
Oh, wow.
That's like almost double mine. That's insane.
I think that's about double mine as well.
God, these people and their jobs.
Dude must like games.
Dude must like games. So, what he had to do was he came into my computer with, what is it called, TeamViewer?
Oh, okay.
So he was able to, like, take control of my mouse and keyboard and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And he logged into Steam on my computer as himself and then added... don't remember the exact...
I think you have to do, like, a pin and something like that.
Yeah, it was... He had to log into Steam as himself on my computer to verify this computer.
Right.
So you... Yeah, you have to, like, physically be able to... contact this person, I guess.
Yeah.
It seems really cool.
Cool.
Because, yeah. Like, his list of games is just right here, and then anytime I want to, I can install any of these, and if he's not playing them, I can play them.
Yeah, that's pretty great.
Yeah.
Big fan of this. Me and Dave and you will have to all get hooked up with each other's Steam family stuff. Be one big Steam family.
One big happy Steam family.
You almost sounded foreign there.
What was my nationality?
European.
Good. Okay.
So yeah, that's the thing. That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's out of beta now, so go be a family.
Go be a family, guys.
Family values.
Last little cool news dickie. News news doohickey is what I meant to say.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure I did not say that, though. Anyways.
You meant to.
I did. And that's almost what counts. So, I think we had an idea that Fez was coming to Sony devices a bit ago. I think there was some hinting at that they, like, some people were working on porting it.
Yeah. Someone tweeted about it.
Yeah, right. Some dude. Whatever. But, it's officially been announced. It's going to be coming to PS3, PS4, and the Vita on March 25th. And normally that wouldn't be interesting. However, there's going to be this interesting cross-buy and cross-save sort of feature. I think cross-play as well. Which is basically if you buy it on your PS4, play it on your PS4, but you can, if you have that link to your Vita, you can also bring that on the go, and it'll have your save file.
Okay, that's sweet.
Yeah, right? I think that Fez would look fucking amazing on a Vita.
Oh, yeah. This is a thing that, like, if Sony can play this up enough and can get enough developers to do this, this is where they could fucking kill.
I think so.
This is their killer app.
Yeah, and it kind of makes sense that they want to promote so many indies because...
Yeah.
Like, I don't know, like, what games do you think are going to, like, port over the best, I guess, on a Vita? I don't know, that and...
Yeah, you wouldn't think, like, AAA games for a Vita.
Yeah, I misspoke. Not port over, but, like, getting your data from, like, the PS4 over to your Vita and stuff and taking that on the go.
Yeah. Because AAA games aren't the kind of games you play on the go. They're the kind of games you play in a chair or on your couch.
Right, right.
But indies, you can, like, take anywhere.
Right, like, you know, Don't Starve, Hotline Miami, Fez, you know, on the go, that's great. You can't do that with anything else. So they have a very interesting sort of niche there.
Oh, Hotline Miami on the go. Oh, that'd be great.
Nick actually plays that a lot on his Vita, and the only unfortunate thing is that the controls do not port over well to not mouse and keyboard. Yeah.
That's a shame.
It sort of makes sense, though. I mean, if you given the layout and everything, there's only so much you can do with that.
Right.
Okay, well, that's it for me for news.
Cool.
Going over to you, man.
In the news, we talked about.
Sorry, go ahead.
Oh wait, where's our sound clip for the news that I played?
That weird the I don't know why this ever became a thing, but you notice in like old news or in like fake news, they've got the. Like the like key like the two high notes on like a keyboard like and like some percussion sound.
Why
fuck
is that a thing? I don't know.
Why is that?
Why does that got to play over your news?
Maybe like very staccato. Like I don't. Maybe it's brain study or something. Like very high staccato stuff is like getting your attention. It makes you think that what they're talking about is more important.
Yeah, probably.
It's not just hey, canned food isn't always good for you. It's something much more interesting.
Is that what was on the news today?
Yes. That's all they were talking about all day.
Hey, did you know canned food isn't always good for you? And then 27 minutes of silence. Where we just think about what they said.
Please
and that's
reflect
the news?
On, please reflect on this now.
There's just a big flashing text on the screen. Reflect now. That's what the news is, guys. I do have some news stuff.
Cool.
Going back to Twitch Plays Pokemon,
uh-huh.
A side effect of being sick is I can't speak correctly. Twitch Plays Pokemon, there we go. I think Twitch, made a comment about, because this is, like, something new that we've never really seen before, and, like, people putting in commands in the chat of Twitch and seeing it, because, like, Twitch is the perfect place for that. That's awesome. And Twitch knows that. And so they're thinking that maybe this could be, like, the start of an actual gaming platform on Twitch.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was Twitch who said this or the Twitch Plays Pokemon people. Probably not Twitch, because I don't know. But yeah.
Let's see. I mean, the article's right here. I'm trying to see... it's MCV? What the fuck does MCV stand for?
I don't know.
Oh, it's their vice president of marketing. Their vice president of marketing, Matthew DiPietro is how I'm going to choose to pronounce
that. Oh, it was a Twitch guy. Okay, cool.
Yeah, yeah. So their vice president of marketing is basically saying that, like, you know, there was a huge audience and it had the attention of basically everybody. So
yeah.
There's, because nothing quite like this has ever happened before, there is definitely potential for there to be, like, cause, like, I could totally see Twitch doing, like, a spin-off site where, you know, Twitch is still for streaming, right. But then there's, like, a sister site or something that does these interesting, like, game experiments, like, with pre-existing games as well as, like, you could totally make a new game for this sort of thing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I could see somebody developing with this in mind.
That's so fucking interesting. But then the real issue is that, oh man, that brings up a whole new slew of different development problems and development considerations as well. That's essentially a whole new game genre.
Yeah. That's pretty exciting. Which is weird.
Right, I mean, and these are pretty lofty sort of ideas, but there's mm-hmm. potential there. You can't really deny that.
Yeah, it's super cool that this would grow out of a website that sort of popped up because of the discovery that people like watching people play games.
Oh, yeah. That's
super fascinating.
Yeah, there's actually a term for that. There was this one book I was reading that's, like, it was a lady that kind of studied some psychology of, like, games and stuff. There is actually a term that specifically refers to, like, the satisfaction that one gets from sort of, like, looking over the shoulder at someone playing a game, and sort
is
of...
Is it, like... Oh, it's specifically for games?
I don't
term?
Know if it's...
Or is it,
I,
like...
I think it's...
Is it, like, voyeurism?
It might be. God, I...
it's kind of like that.
Yeah, it's something along those lines. I think you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, yeah.
But, yeah.
It's really interesting.
Absolutely.
That's a lot of what I watch on YouTube.
Oh, Let's Plays?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So weird. What are we?
The real question. Oh, I skipped over a news
about
thing.
Humanity.
That's
yeah, okay. I don't know. I thought you maybe just didn't want to talk about it.
Oh, no, we'll get to it. We'll make that the last thing, I guess.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Real quick thing about King
mm-hmm.
and Candy Crush, because we talked about it so much.
Yeah, yeah.
Two pods ago.
Mm-hmm.
They have stopped. They have abandoned their quest. Let's say to trademark the word candy.
Yes. I guess they finally realized that it was a silly fucking idea.
Yes. Very stupid. That's only in the U.S. though. A spokesperson for King provided Polygon with the following statement.
Oh,
King has withdrawn its application for candy in the U.S., which we applied for in February 2013 before we acquired the early rights to Candy Crusher. Each market that King operates in is different with regard to IP. We feel that having the rights to Candy Crusher is the best option for protecting Candy Crush in the U.S. market. This does not affect our EU trademark for candy, and we continue to take all appropriate steps to protect our IP. So we're still dicks, but... in the U.S., we couldn't do this one thing.
See, that's a little bit surprising, because I would think that Europe's copyright sort of, or trademarking, I guess, would be a little bit more...
progressive.
Yes, and
yeah, me too.
Have a little bit more sensibility, I guess.
Right.
I don't know. Maybe they still might not get it, and I hope they don't. And mm-hmm. again, this is not... this opinion is already known, but I think that the suits running this business should get fucked.
Yeah.
But
yeah, it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
But that's where we be right now.
Yeah.
So stupid.
Well, that's that.
So there's an update on that. Another thing about Steam is that developers who get their games on Steam can now set their own discounts and have their own sales.
Yeah, and this was kind of interesting because I thought that this kind of was already a thing, I guess.
That's what I thought too, but I guess they were beholden to Valve in some way. And now they can do whatever they want, which is super cool. It just makes Steam even more open for developers.
Right, yeah, and, like, I had an idea that, like, because obviously to do something like that, you would have to consult with somebody, I feel, and,
yeah,
like, they would agree upon it, but, yeah, this, I mean, this, cool, that's good.
Yeah, I'm all for it.
I'm hoping that that won't end up sort of fucking over some people, though, because, I don't know, because I feel like not all developers, I guess, know how markets work. That's a vast generalization, but I feel like there's a chance that some developer might not, you know, exactly know how, like, supply and demand work, mm-hmm. and certain things like that.
So you're worried that they might put it on sale thinking, like, hey, this is a great thing I'm doing for you guys, and then not make all their money back.
Right. I don't want developers going sale crazy. Though, that being said, like, the information regarding that is all around us, and I'm certain that there's someone at Valve who's specifically in the head of, like, in charge of, like, hey, if you're a developer and you need to talk with anyone, like, regarding marketing or, like, ask any questions or anything like that, there's probably someone at Valve that can help you.
Yeah, I'm sure. I was kind of thinking, I was worried in kind of the opposite direction, that, like, it would create this, I don't know, pressure for developers to put discounts on their games, and then people will be like, well, hey, this one's has a discount, so I'm going to buy this one instead of this one that's full price. And then whoever, you know, if you don't discount your game, you'll be getting, like, less sales. So it, I don't know.
You know, there's,
that's where my brain went.
Yeah, I gotcha. Yeah, that sucks. Hopefully not a lot of pressure is put on developers due to this piece of news. That'd suck.
Because I think a lot of consumers probably don't get that there's, like, a supply and demand thing, and you can't just constantly just have a continuous sale.
Right. That doesn't work like that.
Yeah.
There's a really interesting... do you know Jason Rohr?
Maybe.
Guy who made Passage and a couple of other things.
Passage.
He was in the extras for the indie game, the movie stuff. He was the guy with all the kids.
Kids.
You watched that on my couch.
I definitely did.
That's okay. It doesn't matter. He's a cool indie developer. He's making the Castle Doctrine.
Him?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
He actually did this very interesting set of blogs where he talked about how the current pattern of, like, these Steam sales is kind of spoiling consumers in a certain sense.
Yeah, and I think I read that, and that's probably where my idea came from.
Right, and he had this, like, really, really, like, great idea that, like, when he first... like, got the game out there, it was half price or something. You can get the game for, like, $9.
Mm-hmm.
And then as it got closer and closer to its release date, he would keep increasing the price until it would hit the $18 that it would stay at forever.
Mm-hmm.
Which, just reading through the way that he talks about it, he's a really smart dude, and he knows what he's talking about, and he knows what he's doing, and it kind of makes sense, because, like, if you have, a cheaper barrier to entry initially for this, like, MMO type game, then really I feel it makes a lot of sense, because you have more people buying in early, mm-hmm. and more people who are actually a fan of his work, like,
right.
buy in early, and then other people buy in early because it's already on sale, and then as people see that it's, you know, going to not be on sale after a certain point, they might be more inclined to buy the game before it goes full price.
Right.
And then you have a lot of people already, like, pre-established before the game even comes out, playing your game and talking about it with their friends.
Yeah.
So,
you're rewarding early adopters because they generate the most buzz, I guess.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's really interesting. That's a cool idea.
And I think that kind of makes sense in his specific case.
Yeah.
I feel like that can be applicable to other cases, but it probably varies from game to game.
It definitely applies to, like, a Minecraft, because that's what they did, and...
Yeah.
Were super successful, obviously, because you know what I mean when I say Minecraft.
Yes. anyways, that's cool. It's really cool.
Yeah.
Pretty uplifting news for the most part this week.
You want to go back and talk about Ouya?
Yeah, so, I guess, this is sort of an interesting statement. I guess that company that made the Ouya, is saying that it has the potential to go on to other devices, and that there's a chance that these indie games that are, you know, exclusively on Ouya, you know, could be on, you know, other machines, which is cool and strange. Cool because it shows that I think that the creators of this console really care about the developers more than anything else of the games. Because, you know, the more devices a game is on, obviously, you can do the math. The better it is for the game.
Right.
So it shows that their heart is in the right place. However, providing other ways for people to get these Ouya games kind of means that your console that isn't really selling well right now won't be selling at all in the future.
Right.
So yeah, that's kind of what I gained from that.
So that's a thing they're doing.
Yeah.
I don't really get why. I mean, I get why they're doing it for the developers. I don't get why they're doing it for them. But
this could just be a weird case of a company being nice. I mean.
I guess they think they can stay afloat, by just providing a service. By being the Steam of weird indie games.
And they might not be wrong in thinking that. I mean, if their operation with their console's sort of going under, which, I mean, it kind of seems like it is, maybe this is a wise next choice. Or at least a better choice than just abandoning it altogether.
Well, so also, who's it, Julie Ehrman, the CEO of Ouya, was like, we knew we were going to do this. That we were going to, like, take Ouya to other devices. And so she also calls the Ouya, the box Ouya, a reference device, which is what you hear from, like, Google when they put out Nexus phones, or from Valve when they make their Steam machine. So it's like, hey, other hardware people, this is an example of a thing you can build and put our video game software on it, and then you can sell that. So that seems what, like, kind of what they're doing.
Huh.
Because, like, people like Amazon and Apple are interested in selling boxes to people that they hook up to their TV.
Right.
So Ouya is saying, hey, you want to squeeze us in there? You want to do that? So, like, they wouldn't necessarily appear on Amazon because I think they're working on their own game service, but... You know, somebody like that who is building a TV box.
Okay. All right.
I guess that's where they would go with this.
That's a thing.
Yeah.
I really don't know how well that could work out for them.
I know.
No regular consumer knows what an Ouya is.
Right.
I guarantee if you ask 10 people off the street, they would not know.
Absolutely. I'm really interested to watch what happens here, though, because they were like... Oh, excuse me, I'm dying. They were like the first Kickstarter console, I guess. And so they were like the first really gaming console company to leap out of crowdfunding. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with this.
Right, I mean, I'm always interested to see how things develop. I only wish for the best.
Yeah.
Very strange development of this whole thing.
Yeah. But if they end up on, like, a bunch of other boxes, then I guess it makes sense for them.
Sure.
Super cool.
I mean, you got to imagine, too, that possibly now that I think about it. I was going to say that the Ouya game is going to other devices. Like, maybe there will be some that, like, the company skims off the top of if anyone buys the specific games. But then again, it's not on their device, but it might be through their service.
Right.
So I don't even know how that would work. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll have to wait and see.
Yeah. The coming months, I'm sure.
Yes.
Anyways, so, as it was last week, we got a couple of lovely questions that some of which are not in at all relevant to video games, which is so fun.
That's cool.
I dig that. We spend an hour talking about games and shit on here, and...
Now we just talk about shit.
And this is the last episode we get questions.
No, it'll be fun.
So
Liam on me, brother.
Yeah, I won't call it a mistake. I made the ballsy choice to post on Facebook, hey, we're asking, like, here's a call for questions. They don't have to be about video games, though, like literally anything, because right. we want to mix it up. So our friend Katie Potasek, I miss her dearly. She goes to school in Wisconsin, just like Gino. She just started hurling them at us, and there are some really funny, interesting ones in here. So what I'm suggesting, let's try and do these rapid fire.
Okay.
Let's see how quick we can get through her barrage of questions. I think this will be fun. So start your stopwatches, folks. Okay.
Click noise.
I think there are like 10 or 12 questions here. So, okay. First question. If you had a farm, what would you raise?
Apples.
I'd probably raise like one of everything except for chickens because I think birds are stupid. if you could have anything
That's
named
a way
after
better
you,
answer.
If you could have anything named after you as a memorial, what would you pick?
Oh, man. You go first.
I think like a big permanent like metal urinal just in the middle of a park.
That's great.
The Zachary Bruin lavatory.
Okay. It would be a big bridge or a series of interconnecting bridges that only I was able to access when I was alive and go to all the places that I go in my daily life.
That sounds like space travel.
Maybe.
Next question. Boxers or briefs? I wear boxer briefs.
Yeah, me too.
All right. Nice. High five.
Whoa.
Yeah. Cool.
There was a delay. High five.
Yeah.
Well, it took a while to get to me.
It's got to travel a couple miles, man.
Right.
Next one. Would you want to be supreme ruler of the world / what is the first law you would write?
Oh. No.
Yeah, that's exactly my thoughts,
God,
too.
God, no.
That's way too much responsibility. I couldn't run that shit. People have, like, hard times running states. People have hard times running countries already.
I wouldn't want to run... I would rather be the dick with no responsibility who gets to make fun of the person running the world for their decisions.
Oh, so you want to be... We can be, like, wives of the Supreme Ruler.
No, we'd be, like, the John Stewart of the Supreme Ruler.
Okay, cool. All right. I dig that.
Oh, that'd be great, yeah.
But the first law that you would write if we were Supreme Ruler...
If we were, okay.
Nothing gets to be alive under, like, 1,000 feet beneath the ocean.
What?
Everything...
You don't have governance over nature.
Everything has to fucking leave, because everything at the bottom of the ocean is terrifying alien monsters.
Wow. Well, that is true.
What about you, man?
Wow, okay.
It's a pretty heavy question.
I was just going to say, like, don't be a jerk. Just come on, guys. That would be part of the law. Come on, guys.
Come on, guys, yeah.
Yeah. Or, come on, people now. Smile on your brother. Everybody get together. Try to love one another right now.
It's funny that you mentioned that, actually, because my alternate was, like, a national Be Happy or Else Day.
That's great. There would be, like, world government workers with, like, smiley face hats and little poking sticks.
And there would be, like...
Be happy.
Yeah, there would be terrible, like, subgroup, like, underground subgroups that would definitely not want to be happy just because this day was proposed.
Awesome.
Yeah. Next one. Interesting. How many hats do you own?
I don't know. Does that include baseball caps? Because that's a lot.
That is a hat.
I used to wear a lot of baseball caps when I was younger.
Really? Interesting.
I'm going to say, if we include baseball caps, and let's see, what else do I have? Winter hats. Does a crown that someone knitted count?
Yes.
Okay, cool. I don't know, maybe like 20.
Dang. Nice. That's a lot of hats.
Wait, no, there's some costume hats in there.
Oh, shit. So you have more than 20 hats?
Maybe. 20 to 25 hats.
You're living that TF2 life, man.
That's right.
Let's purely from the ones that I can see around my room. I'm looking into my closet. I've got a Goofy hat from when I went to Disney World. That's pretty awesome.
Nice.
I made a hat that is supposed to be Dipper's hat for Halloween once from Gravity Falls.
Sweet.
I've got a pizza hat hanging up on right above my bed because it's my favorite hat.
Your pizza hat.
My pizza hat. And then I've got a winter hat that I wear. So I guess right now I have 5 hats, but I know I've had more hats in the past.
Okay.
We'll go with 5 right now, though. Go with 5.
Cool.
Yeah.
I win. I won the hat race.
You win the hat race.
What do I win?
Next question. Favorite film?
Oh, this is always hard for me.
This is Shaun of the Dead.
Oh, okay, that's a good choice.
Hands down, I've seen that movie so many times.
Nice. I have a difficult time picking a favorite anything.
Yeah, same here. I also like The Shining a lot.
Okay.
Just because it's Stanley Kubrick weirdness.
Okay, so I'm going to say either The Dark Knight, because I've seen it a lot and it just makes me feel good every time.
Okay.
Inception.
Very good choice.
Because I just love what he did. Mm-hmm. Or I recently saw Her, and I really liked the story and the design and everything they did with it.
I have to fucking see Her so bad.
It was really good. Yeah,
me and Sean were supposed to see it, and things keep coming up. We did not get to see it.
Goddamn.
All right, cool.
So those are my 3, I guess.
All right, next one. Got to keep pace here, man. What was your weirdest dream? I'll let you think about this one. I had this the only thing I remember from this dream is I think it was in this weird alternate past where David had helped me, fix up my room and stuff. So, helped, pull up the floors and, repaint it and stuff. And it was a few weeks after that, and I woke up, and he had, planted beans in the fucking walls. And they were starting to sprout. And I woke up to, these 3 bean sprouts with all these, beans coming out of the wall.
Wow.
And
okay.
Above one of them, there was, a spider's egg sack. And that was it.
Okay.
I'm sure I've had weirder dreams, but I don't dream a lot as is. I hardly remember my dreams.
Yeah, same with me.
So
that's really, really weird.
I forgot to tell him about that today.
Yeah, I have a really hard time remembering my dreams. Even if I remember them the next day and then tell them to somebody, it just goes away.
Yeah.
That's the internet age. 5 seconds go by and I forget things.
Yeah, pretty much.
The only two that are springing to mind are most recently, or the most recent one that I remember, is I was, hanging out or on a date or hanging out in a romantic way with River Tam from Firefly.
Nice.
And, she's the weird one who kills people. And it was great. It was great. It was the best date, and, we got along, and she got me. It was so weird. I don't even know what I can pick out in the dream to tell you that we clicked and that it went so well. I just knew.
Yeah, I think dreams are weird because, there are so many things that are just, implied that don't ever actually happen.
Yeah, that's why when you explain them to people, they think you're crazy.
Yeah, for instance, in that dream I just told you, the only literal thing that I saw was I woke up and there were lima beans growing from my wall. In no way was there visual implication that David had done it, but I knew. That was a thing David had done, when he was fixing up my room, of course,
so weird.
Naturally.
So weird.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Next one. Pretty simple. I hope you don't have to look down for this one. Is your belly button an innie or an outie? Mine is an innie.
Also an innie, yes.
Nice. Very good. More high fives.
Yeah.
this is a weird one. What foreign country do you dislike the most?
Wow. I don't know.
I've literally never ever been to another foreign country.
No, me neither, now that I think about it.
But you know what? I gotta imagine that... I have nothing. I can't even make a joke about this. I feel like I would just be too insulting.
I'm gonna say Russia, because they're the biggest dicks right now.
I have been keeping up on none of that.
Okay.
But, I'll go with that, too. I'll jump on the boat. I think that LGBT rights are important.
Yeah.
Next. Favorite kind of pie? This is her final one, too. Thank you, Katie. These were all excellent and you're awesome.
These were great questions.
Yeah.
Favorite kind of... Probably apple pie. It's great.
Good, wholesome American boy.
That's right.
I'd have to go with... I really... I'm not a fan of pie. I will say that outright.
I'm more of a cake person.
Same here. Same here. Just clicking all day. This is why we do a podcast together, man.
That's right.
Cherry, I would say. And okay. Have I told you... I feel like I've told everyone this story. Did I tell you where there was a competition at school for memorizing the most digits of pi?
No.
I haven't told... Oh, okay. So, all right. In, I think this was in high school. This is definitely, I think, my sophomore year of high school. So, if you have awesome math teachers, what they do is that they say, okay, hey, here's a competition. Whoever can memorize the most digits of pi and write them out on Pi Day gets a free Baker Square pie.
Oh my God.
Guess what motherfucker did it?
Oh, no way.
And I got the best cherry pie I'd ever had in my life.
That's so great.
And I think I ate most of it on that day.
Nice. Well, you have to. It's Pi Day.
Yeah, right.
Can you still do it?
I cannot. I think I remember something up towards, like, between 60 and 80 digits.
Whoa.
And now the only ones that I know are 3.14159265358.
Okay, yeah. That's pretty much where I get stuck.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, cool.
Good stuff.
Good questions. Yeah.
Thank you, Katie.
Second set of questions from Nate Spaghetti. Spaghetti?
Nate Spaghetti.
S-C-I-G-E-T-I.
It's Spaghetti.
Nate Spaghetti.
That's it.
So, first one. And interesting, we haven't really mentioned this at all, but it's been sort of a story that pops up every once in a while.
Yeah.
But the question is, Nintendo isn't doing great right now. If you could make one thing happen to dig them out of their hole, what would it be? Kind of a loaded question, I feel. But I think it's interesting to discuss. Let's talk about this.
Yeah. I saw this question, and I was going to think about it a bunch. I don't know. What could they do? It would probably make the most financial sense. Or alternatively, it could be the best thing or the worst thing would be to license out their characters.
Mm, yeah. So are you talking about in terms of like merch then?
To
other developers.
To other yeah. So like you would have Mario on Xbox.
Did you see the thing where the like, the voice actor for the Mario games wants there to be a separate Waluigi game?
No.
He came out and said that directly.
Well, then that's what they should do.
They should.
Make a Waluigi game.
Mm-hmm. That could be a whole separate discussion, though. I have some thoughts on that.
I don't know. I guess they could just change their attitude about games a little bit.
I think so, too.
And maybe be a little more open. And maybe developers will like you then.
Right, yeah, it's... Nintendo's always been its weird own entity. And I think the one thing that I want to stress, what I think right now, while Nintendo might not be doing good,
mm-hmm.
they're not as bad as anyone thinks they are. I think people like to imagine that they're not doing... Or imagine that they're doing, like, absolutely terrible because the Wii U isn't selling very well.
Yeah.
When really, I mean, they have enough, they're sitting on enough money to where they could be like, okay, you know, yeah, Wii U is shit, whatever, abandon it and start fresh with a new console.
Sure.
They could do that, and like, sure, they might be dipping into like those dollars, but they'd be alright. They probably end up just like being okay, and that's just one thing I want to stress, that,
mm-hmm.
like, regardless of what you hear, Nintendo isn't doing as bad as anyone says they are. But what they could, I'm not really sure what they could do to like dig them out of like the quote unquote hole. I think that, I don't know. You got to have a couple more things for the Wii U. You have to, maybe marketing. Well, it's a little bit late, but marketing the Wii U better, I think, would be good too, because there are still people who aren't really sure what that is.
Yeah, and I think the biggest problem with the Wii U is that developers have no idea what the hell to do with this thing because it's so different.
Right.
But maybe they don't market it as well because they don't know either.
Right. Yeah, I mean, that could be true as well. Maybe they were just It's like, let's add a touchscreen and make it a more souped-up Wii. All right, cool,
yeah.
Done.
And, like, they had a bunch of cool, like, demos, like tech demos for what could be done. And those were cool. But, like, also, how does that apply to other games?
Yeah.
Like, it's just, when you're as different and weird as you are as Nintendo, it's hard to get developers to make a game that's going to be just for your console because your console is so different.
Absolutely, and it doesn't help that your console isn't like selling particularly
well. And the only people who are willing to do that are the people who have the money to make that, to take that risk. And so that means that you're not going to be as open because people aren't going to just take a chance and develop a thing for your platform.
Right. And the thing that like gets me too is that the Wii U is so much fucking fun. Like,
sure.
David owns one, and you weren't there at all when we were playing through like the what is it? It was the Nintendo Land, Lands games.
Yeah.
There are some genuinely fun party games on there where you play with like three or four people. I had a blast. There are awesome games on there, and it's fun to like. For instance, okay, there's this one game. It's a Luigi's Mansion game. It's basically Pac-Man, but with Luigi's Mansion, where one player who has the separate screen controls the ghost, and they're invisible. And you have to, like, you go around, and all the Luigi's have, like, flashlights with certain battery durations on them.
Yeah.
And I have never played anything like that. And it was, like, it felt like nothing else. Because I was just sitting waiting there for, like, 2 minutes in anticipation, waiting for them, like, draining their battery and just waiting for them to sort of fuck themselves. And it was amazing.
Well, okay, that's really cool.
But, yeah, and, but no one wants to invest in one. And I totally get that.
Yeah.
It's just, it feels so weird.
It feels like, to get out of the hole, they need to stop being weird Nintendo. And I do not want to be the person to say you have to stop being weird Nintendo, because I love weird Nintendo.
The thing is, weird Nintendo just doesn't generate a lot of dollars.
Yeah, that's the problem.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I think Smash Brothers is going to sell a couple we use for sure.
Yeah.
A couple. I say a couple. Like, hope. Oh, yeah, like five or six, you know, most.
Yeah.
It's probably going to sell a couple hundred thousand.
Yeah, I would think so.
Yeah, at least.
There are a lot of dedicated Smash Bros. Players.
Right. That is just a very... that's a very universal series, I feel.
Yeah. There's a community around that game.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Anyways, though, beyond that stuff, I don't know. I'm really not sure. I think that they need to... I mean, there's a lot of things that they could do, but I'm not opposed to the idea of scrapping the Wii U and just being like, okay, you know what? Let's stop fucking around and just make a decent gaming console.
Yeah.
No, I mean, you gotta have, like, a few gimmicks, but just make a core gaming console. That's what everyone wants.
Maybe make the gamepad optional, you know?
Yes.
That'd be cool. You can still do your weird Nintendo stuff, just, you know, for the people who want it.
Yeah, especially when you're communicating to developers.
Yeah. Totally.
Anyways, though. Okay, we got two more questions.
Yes.
This is a pretty good one. In your opinion, what is the most underrated game of all time? And also he says, feel free to name a few if you have to.
Okay.
I think Deadly Premonition is the most underrated game of all time. And that is that's basically the Twin Peaks the video game, which is indescribably quirky and crappy and fascinatingly like entrancing all at the same time. It hits on a couple of it's really indescribable. I feel like until you watch Twin Peaks and understand the vibe of that universe.
Okay.
You should do that sometime. You should, like, just take, like, an hour and a half and watch the weird pilot of Twin Peaks.
Yeah, I've never seen it.
I think
hear good things.
I think you'll... It'll click.
Okay. Cool. I would say the Boktai series is super underrated.
What is that?
That's that series that Hideo Kojima made with the solar sensors.
Right, right. Oh, jeez, we talked about that last week,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, they're just a lot of fun.
Cool. Maybe you should write them. Maybe you should tell them to bring it back.
I mean, what's it going to do? What's one man going to be able to... Petition. They kind of rebooted it on the DS. They brought... Okay, so there was a game that they put out for the DS called Boktai DS in Japan. Mm-hmm. And then they changed everything when they brought it to America. They changed the names of the characters. They changed what the game was called. It was called Lunar Knights over here. Mm-hmm. And because they changed the name of the characters, it wasn't connected to the original games anymore at all and had no significance to anybody.
The fan base kind of just shat on it, I'm sure.
Yeah, it could have been so great, but they chose to make it American, I guess. I don't know. And it sucked.
That's a shame.
Yeah.
Any others?
I'm trying to think.
I think there is this one game called Perspective. Do you remember when I played that? It is this interesting combination of, I remember it now. Okay, so the way that it works is that you go through all these different puzzles in these different rooms. You control two things. You hit a button to control a little guy who side scrolls.
Right.
All throughout, like, different things within the level. And then you press space again, and you control the camera. And based on, it's a really strange idea to think about, but based on where you go with the camera, it changes how, like, your platforming levels are laid out with this little 2D dude.
Yeah.
That is a student-made game that I feel like is...
Oh, right.
Absolute quality. It's very, very good, and you can get it for free, too.
Yeah. I watched the Yogscast do a Let's Play, and it was the coolest thing.
It's such an original idea.
Yeah.
I think it's super cool.
Yeah, That's a good example for an underrated game.
Yeah.
If I had to pick one more, I would say that Paid is really underrated, but I really like it.
Go on.
It's on Steam. It's that side scroller that's like 2.5D that I was talking about before.
I don't think I ever actually looked that up. I'm sorry.
How dare you? I just love the art style and just the visuals and the graphic design for it. Is all great, and the music goes together with it well, and it creates a good feeling for the game. And people might get frustrated with it at certain points, but if you stick with it, it's you can really come to love it.
I can literally find nothing about this game.
What?
I put in paid game, and it's a bunch of, like, oh, hey, free iPhone, like, best, like, top iPhone game.
This is my fault, because I'm sick. It's called PID, P-I-D.
PID, right. PID.
Yes.
Paid.
You log into the game and you get paid.
Nice. Okay, solid.
And then
you
leave. Yes, people have, and society has come to a grinding halt, and we are all living in the afterscape.
And we're doing pretty good.
It's doing all right.
Doing okay.
It's $10 on Steam right now.
Cool. So this is our last, and I think the most important question.
Yes.
This is good.
Of life.
It could be applied to that as well.
Lay it down.
Would you rather be a skeleton with magic powers or a ghost with just plain-ass ghost-ass ghost powers?
Okay. Ass ghost. Sorry.
It's not, unfortunately, it's not ass ghost.
Okay, just plain-ass ghost-ass ghost powers.
Yes, the hyphens are properly placed.
Yes, they are.
Unfortunately.
Yes. That's... Oh, man. That's a great question.
You know, I am very, very partial to ghosts.
I know your love of ghosts.
I'm going to have to go with the true spookster on this one and say a ghost with just plain-ass ghost-ass ghost powers.
Okay, can I get a rundown of the plain-ass ghost-ass ghost powers?
Okay, well, let's... you can turn invisible.
Yeah.
That's a given.
Right.
You levitate all the time.
Uh-huh.
You go through regular, you know, objects, so like walls and desks and stuff.
Right.
And I'm pretty sure when you pass through a person, you... see what they want for Christmas.
Oh man, okay. That would make me such a better friend.
Yeah, because you see in ghost movies all the time where, like, they pass through somewhere and someone's like, oh, whoa, it's like, Yeah, it's because that they just found out what you want for Christmas, and like, okay, you had that thought taken away from you.
Wow. Okay.
Regardless of race.
Why would that even? Why would you even say that?
Because not everyone celebrates Christmas.
Okay, that's, yeah.
You have yet to give an answer, though, sir.
Oh, I see. So, like, even if someone doesn't celebrate Christmas, you find out what they want for Christmas.
You find out what they want for it, yeah.
Wow, that's amazing.
Very unique.
Just that power alone is, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Ghost, too, because I think if you were a skeleton, you would get cold.
But what if you use your magic powers to knit you a sweater?
Then it would still sound like xylophones when you run.
Thank you for listening to the First Person Podcast Simulator. This has been a great night.
Yes. It was a good time. Thank you for the questions, man. People.
Yeah, thank you, Katie. Thank you, Nate.
Yeah.
We're going to try and make this regular. That would be awesome.
Yeah.
So, Mike, you make videos on the internet, post them on YouTube, and you talk at the camera, whether you are sick or not.
I do. And
where are these at?
You can find these. I was waiting for you to ask the question.
I was seeing how long I could wait.
Yeah, it was a good time. We all enjoyed it. You can find it at youtube.com/vlogandegan. And I'm also on Twitter, at EganWorks.
Excellent. I'm on Twitter, at Zach Bruin. No longer a private profile. Follow the shit out of that.
Yeah.
Follow a lot of game devs now, which is cool.
Okay.
I basically just went through Twitter suggestion and was like, yep, game dev, indie, cool.
Yeah, cool.
I'm on there. I post vines every once in a while about birds singing the Ghetto Boys.
All right.
You need to see that.
I don't think I've seen that.
Yeah. Also, there was one of me that I did where I was singing to Nirvana on the way back from your house.
That's a good one, too. I gotta get on your Vine, man.
For interesting reasons. I'm not really on anything else. That's about it. That's about it for me. Mostly the Twitters. I'm on Tumblr, too, but, like, fuck it, whatever. That's garbage.
Yeah.
Not the Tumblr's garbage, but my Tumblr is garbage.
Oh, okay. Don't follow me on Tumblr, because I just get really weird and honest on Tumblr.
Like, if you want to... That's how I get on Twitter. I have a very limited number of people who I have actually met in real life that are able to follow that thing. Because that's sort of where all my other thoughts go about things. So I just have that outlet, though, I'll admit.
Twitter and Facebook are like my public selves, even though I don't let just anybody... Like, if I only friend people on Facebook if I like know them in person or know them really closely online.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm still like my public self because I know... Because I'm friends with all these people that I don't want to know stuff about me, you know?
Right.
But so on Tumblr, that's like where I'm actually me.
Yeah, I totally got you, man. I feel that.
You don't even want to know, man.
It's like a 21st century diary that everyone else gets to see, too.
Yeah. Where there's also GIFs of Ellen handing out pizza.
Yeah, I have not seen those. Ugh.
Nice.
I know what I'm doing for the next 5 hours. Thank you very much, dear listeners. Thank you for...
We love you so.
We do, and we love doing this, as you know. So yeah, join us next week and see how many steak burritos Mike can eat.
Wait, no, but I don't...
Yeah, sorry. Bye!